It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, we are back with our teacher, Connie Stanfill, back to teach lesson number 51 in the book of Genesis. And what are we going to be learning about today, Connie?
Well, here we're going to find out how God protected and reaffirmed and blessed Jacob, even after that disaster of Shechem, which we talked about the last time we were together.
All right. Well, I'll read this section, and you can teach. And it starts this way. God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel so I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings that were in their ears. Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree that was near Shechem. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them, so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried under an oak below Bethel, so he called its name Ellen Barkuth. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padam Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you." Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken to him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him, Bethel.
Thank you, Amy. So here we find God acting. Last chapter 34, we didn't have any mention of God, but here we find immediately after that disaster, God said to Jacob, "Arise, go to Bethel." And we know that Bethel is where God had appeared to Jacob when he had that dream of the ladder between connecting heaven and earth. And God said, "I will be your God. I will bring you back here." And Jacob had promised to come back there and to build a house of God right there. And he has not done that yet. And remember, he's been in the land about 10 years already. So he's perhaps delayed in that, not sure. We do know he also then commands his household to get rid of their foreign gods. So they're still holding on to some of those idol worship elements. And it's time to get rid of those. Mm-hmm. So he tells them to consecrate themselves. They bury those foreign gods, probably even the ones Rachel stole from her father, and then to change their garments. So they're getting ready to worship God. So they go to Bethel, which is about 30 miles from where they had been in Shechem. And there, Jacob builds an altar. But there's a verse here, verse 3, which is just beautiful because Jacob says, "That I may go there to make an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone." And I think we need to hold on to that verse because our God is the one who, even in our still sinful state and mistakes and flaws, is with us and does what is good for us. And so Jacob acknowledged that. We find then that as they went, a terror from God fell upon the cities around them. So God protected them so that they didn't face retaliation from the other peoples of the land. He comes to Bethel, which means house of God. He builds the altar and he worships God. Interestingly, we find that Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, has died there. So she's joined Jacob in the land. And he names an oak there, Oak of Weeping, because of the death of one of, you know, his mother's nurse. And then we find God in verse 9 says, God appeared to Jacob again. And so God is so gracious because he comes to Jacob and he reveals more of himself and he reaffirms his promises and he reaffirms that his name is no longer Jacob, it's Israel. He strives with God. And the Lord says, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply." And so after that disaster at Shechem, when maybe they could have been wiped out because of their actions, God is saying, nope, you're going to be fruitful and multiply. I will be with you. And he promises kings from his body, and Jacob worships. Mm. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So we have a little bit more of the journey then from Bethel to Isaac.
All right. Let's pick it up in verse 16. Then they journeyed from Bethel, where they were still some distance from Ephrath. Rachel went into labor, and she had hard labor. And when her labor was at its hardest, the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, for you have another son." And as her soul was departing, for she was dying, she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a pillar over her tomb. It is the pillar of Rachel's tomb, which is there to this day. Israel journeyed on and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. While Israel lived in that land, Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Now his sons of Jacob were 12, the sons of Leah: Reuben, Jacob's firstborn; Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun; the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin; the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's servant, Dan and Naphtali; the sons of Zilpah, Leah's servant, Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padam Aram. And Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had sojourned. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac breathed his last, and he died and was gathered to his people, full of old days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him.
Yes, thank you. This really is kind of a family summary of the counts of what's going on in the family. First of all, we find out that Jacob's last son is born, Benjamin, initially named Son of My Sorrow by Rachel as she's dying, but Jacob renames him Son of My Right Hand, which is a beautiful name. And then we find that Rachel is buried there on the way, so she's not buried in the family tomb in Hebron. We find that during that time, Reuben went and had sexual relations with his father's concubine. And because of that, Reuben is going to be passed over as the firstborn. And he will be cursed in Genesis 49 when we come to Jacob's blessing and cursings to his son. So now we find three of the first three sons all have curses on them, actually, because of their actions. All right. And then we have a beautiful summary of those 12 sons. And in it, it says they were born in Padan Aram, but we know Benjamin has just been born, and he's in Canaan, and he's the completion of the family. And so God has completed this family of sons. And then we find that Jacob comes to his father Isaac, and he is there when Isaac dies, and he's able to bury him with Esau. So we find that, again, the brothers are in agreement and doing something together to honor their father. And Isaac lives 180 years, and it says he's old and full of days, which meant he led a good life, and God had blessed him. And so we've now come to the end of the account of Isaac, and we also notice Rachel's died and Deborah's died, and really we're coming to the end of that generation of the family. And truly, going forward in a short time, we're really going to be focusing more on the children of Jacob rather than Jacob himself, because soon we're going to come into understanding who Joseph was and how the promise is coming through those people. Again, just want us to understand and remember that this firstborn status is very important. And again, Reuben and Simeon and Levi have all lost whatever would be based on their birthright because of their actions. And as truly as we go through this, I think we as women have to understand God is working through sinful people, and their lives are messed up like our lives are messed up, but yet God is the one who chooses. Thoughts there, Amy?
Well, and I'm thinking about the lessons to come, and you had mentioned that we're getting ready to start talking about Joseph, and I know that is such a significant chapter and such an amazing, incredible journey that he had, showing me how God really does work all things, even the terrible, sinful things, for the good of his glory.
It is true. Our God is sovereign, and so we can hold on to that, and that's a blessing. We're thankful. I'm thankful for Jacob's response to God, for his returning to Bethel, for his fulfilling his vow of worshiping God there. But mostly, I'm thankful for who God is and his great faithfulness. So that wraps up today's lesson, and you can find the notes on naomistable.com.